heart to be open to what he got to say. This brother has a lying heart, and he has a special word for us to receive today. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be up here again. I've been up here a few times, obviously, singing. And then giving small teachings. God's been talking to me a whole lot about just his exact plan that he has set up for you and how you should follow those steps, how you even know what his plan is. It was funny because at the I'm a maintenance man, and we were moving old building plans. And I was like moving them off, and they're like super fragile and gentle. And my supervisor's just like, be careful with those. We need those. We need to put them in a vault somewhere. And I'm like, okay. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, oh man. And they all fell out. And he just looked at me like, I'm like a sitcom. Sorry. But they all laid out, like it was like five building plans laid out. And I was just looking at them all and how perfect every detail was and how everything was exactly where it was supposed to be. God just spoke to me and he was just like, how detailed and exact these plans are for these buildings, my plans are even greater, more so, for your life. And that just spoke big volumes to me. And so I'm just like, all right, God, you really got something going on. So that's kind of why I kind of got this illustration of building plants because of that. We're going to be sticking in the Old Testament today. We're going to be talking about David and Joseph. David and Joseph, those are, if you ever read them, deep detail. Those are big extremes of how people follow God's plan. David, things lined up very well for him. Joseph, not so much. Joseph went through a whole lot, like just from his family and just being in prison. And we're going to get to all this. But the reason why I brought these two up is because they're just two big extremes of how you can follow God's plan. One, like I said, everything was just lined up for David, and he just walked into it. Whereas Joseph, his plans, God's plans, was revealed to him in a dream. And after years of torment from when he was 17 all the way up to when he was old, like really old, He stuck to those plans through all just a bunch of torment and despair. And so that's where we are going to be talking about. So this is kind of just a little illustration I was thinking of. Born by God, trusting in God, and led by God. You're going to see that both David and Joseph, they were anointed specifically by God, whether, you know, we're just gonna get to it. So we're gonna go to 1 Samuel 15:8. I am using the New International Version, the NIV. So I'm gonna give a little backstory on how we're doing David's story first. So I'm gonna give a little backstory on how he was positioned to become king. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites. Side note, we were talking about this, I think, last week, anyone that's like any type of kite or anything, that's a type of people that, or ites, those are a type of people that are against God and against God's people. So you're going to see like Amalekites and just a lot of different ites. And those are, just so you know, those are enemies of God's people when they're talking about these different tribes. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. When God tells you to do something, do it. You're going to see why it's so important. But when God tells you to do something, you don't try to rearrange it. You don't try to bend the rules. You're like, okay, God, I'm going to do this. But that's like, okay, you know, I want you to, let's give an example. Like me as an artist, I've met a lot of people outside of school as you're going to school. And so it could be something like, oh, I'm going to go to 3 universities and get all these degrees. Not saying that you can't. You can. But if God says you don't have to do that, I'm going to line people up so you can get the job in your career that you want to do and that you love, so you don't have to be like $22,000 or $30,000 in debt. No, I'm going to get all these free degrees, God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to empty out my bank account for myself. I'm not going to fill it. But just have that in mind of when God tells me something to do, do it. Verse 4. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them to Timnah. I can never pronounce that. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Canaanites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all of the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fatted calves and the lambs, everything that was good. God told him to do something, and he didn't do it. God told you to do something, and you didn't do it. He did it halfway. He was like, I'll kill everybody, but I won't. Y'all got some good-looking calves and cattle. I can use these. Now, these are spoils of war. I'm going to keep these. And, I mean, this dude, I might as well just take him hostage, too. You know? Do what God tells you to do. You'll see why in a minute. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. No, you didn't. What then is this bleeding sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle I hear? Saul answered, You tried to blame it on somebody else. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Stop! Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied, although you were once small in your own eyes, but you did not become the head of a tribe of Israel. The Lord anointed you king of Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Skip ahead a little bit. After at this time, because he disobeyed God, God tormented him. And there was, now, disclaimer, in the Bible, it does say that God put a evil spirit on him. God's not evil. When you do something, this is world science. When there is a reaction, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Because you didn't obey the Lord, this was your punishment. Because you didn't, all you had to do was just follow the steps. He already set it up. There was nothing else that he had to do. But instead, he disobeyed God, and his punishment was being tormented. So at this point, Samuel leaves. God tells Samuel, he's like, all right, well, that dude ain't king no more. He messed up. So I need to appoint a new king. So I want you to go out and find a new king for me. So in chapter 16, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about this and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I have indicated. Even, and we were just talking about this in the back, you got your GPS, and it says, turn left. But you like, go right for whatever reason. He still redirects you back. Even in your mess, even when you might mess up, and I've messed up quite a bit, unfortunately. But even in your fall, you ever see, go to the circus or something, when they fall, and it's like, oh, but then they spring back up, they don't hurt themselves. Even in your fall, God allows you to tuck and roll and spring back up into his glory. Even in that, man, like, that's just so key and just amazing on how God is, man. Verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely this is one of his sons. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said, do not consider his appearance or height. You don't have to have a certain type of degree or resume when you link up with God. You don't have to have a certain type of skills. You don't have to. God has already anointed you, and he will go through all the people who aren't just to get to you. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Say that again.
The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. The Lord's already good. He's already merciful. He's already gracious. He is love. And he's already inside of you. So no matter how dark you think you are, no matter how muddy and dirty, he still sees that glimmer of light in you. If you ever like tried to dig, like I used to dig through a I had a toy chest. It was a toy box. And I'm just like, where are my Power Ranger toys? And I was taking out all Legos and all kinds of stuff. And it had like a shiny helmet on it. And I was always able to find it under like all the toys. So I'm just like, ha-ha. So I say that to say, again, even in your darkest moments, even in your mess, God still sees you shine. Because he has put that shine in you. You didn't have enough shoe polish to shine your own shoes. He did it. He made you clean. He's the one that wiped you. So when he's looking at you, he ain't looking at your actions. He ain't looking at how tall you are, how big you are, or how deep your voice is. He's looking at his character inside of you and what you do with it. So going to verse 11. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending to the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. He was kind of a good looking, David was a good looking guy. The Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel went back to Ramah. So, I'm going to jump a bit. He was already anointed from the jump. There was nothing. You already got the job before you even fill out the application. You already have it. What was he saying in the background? In the back, it's a fixed game. You can't lose. It's a fixed game. You cannot lose. David was already anointed with the Spirit of God. It wasn't like he was like doing 1,000 push-ups before he fought Goliath or something. All right, now I'm ready to beat him. I need a rock. Where's the rock? It's like a good rock. All right. He was already anointed before this. Way before Goliath, he was already. So when David got in Saul's service, God anointed him with the ability to. It was. I just call it a harp. It was just a small harp. And so when he played it, Saul wasn't tormented anymore. It soothed him. He wasn't like plagued by the spirit. That's why I have this illustration. So 1 Samuel 17:12. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this heifer and roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. So at this time they were going going off to fight Goliath. So his brothers had already went off and David had obviously stayed to play and tend to his father's sheep, but his father sent him off. Now, again, when God tells you to do something, do it. Because David could have easily said, well, I gotta go to the battlefield for it, man. I play in the palace, man. I'm big time now. I gotta go to the, can't they find some sandwiches? Ain't they got a creek over there they can get some water from? David did not once do that. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are. Be how your brothers are doing, and bring back some assurance for me. Just bring back a good word for us. That's what it was like. There with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Jump down a bit to 30, verse 32. So they were all afraid. When Goliath came, they were all very afraid. Like, Goliath was a big dude. He was Goliath. So they were all standing around the camp like, "You gonna go out there and fight him?" Brother, I ain't going out there and fight. Look how big he is. That's Debo. I ain't going out there. Even his brothers were afraid, but David had already been anointed and he knew it. He wasn't ignorant of it. He knew the power that God had granted him. So when it came to it, he wasn't afraid to be the one to step up to fight Goliath. But David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servants will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go against the Philistines and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep." Pause. God has been keeping you. Whatever you're going against right now, God's already brought you through your past. Whatever trials and tribulations, whatever muck, you ever like try to really, really walk in like mud, you try to walk in Edison. Quicksand, really, you come off. God's already cleaned that out and turned it into concrete for you to walk on before him. So why would it be a problem now? Why would it be a problem when you're facing up against something now? Why would God change his mind? Why would God, first, again, going back, he's already placed his goodness inside of you. He's not going off of your merits. He's not going off of how good. He's not going off of how many gold stars you got.
Okay.
Because you weren't the one who achieved them in the first place. He was the one who granted you with them gold stars. And so because of that, he has positioned you in the right place to do what needs to be done. Because there are times where, you know, he'll grant you stuff where you like to do things like, "Oh God, I want this new apartment. Hey, I got this new apartment. Hey God, I want to apply for this car. Hey, I got this car." And then there's a time for, "Now I need you to go out and talk to that person who's been dealing with suicide. I need you to go out and talk to that person who just doesn't know what to do and who just doesn't know. They think they're alone. Let them know they're not alone. There's a time for play and there's a time for work. Notice when it's time for work, because you can get drunk off the blessings of God. But if you go back, you can keep eating them apples and oranges and peaches. I like peaches. Peaches is good. Lord, many peaches. But if you don't go back to the root of it, if you don't go back and tend to the tree, that plant will rot. Go, when God tells you to do something, do it. We already saw what happened when you don't obey God. And it's not that God isn't evil, but there is an equal and opposite reaction to everything. If I run up and slam against the wall, it's gonna hurt. If I drink water out of my cup, my thirst will be quenched. if you drink from the cup of God and stop running into the walls of the world, if you drink from the cup of God and stop running into the walls of the world, you won't get no concussion. You won't be tormented. That'd be people who do things and have their own plans and slap God's label on it like they did it. That's like if you got like an HP. God told me to take out that $25,000 loan. Now I'm $45,000 in the hole. Why you do this to me, God? God didn't tell you to do that. You did. You're hurting yourself, man. Don't do that. You was hurting yourself. Don't. That wasn't God's plan. That was yours. You tried to twist it and mold God's plan into what you wanted to do. And then when it don't work out, you get mad at him.
Think
about it. And we're human. But thanks be to God for his love and his grace to pick us back up. And it's not like when the parent mad at their kid and they fall out. Stop on it. It's you hurt yourself. Just come on, let me teach you how to walk the right way. Let me teach you what love. I know you done scraped your knees. I know you done hurt yourself. But just stay, if you just stay holding my hand. If you just stay hold, don't hold nobody, don't hold the world's hand. Don't listen to everybody else. Know when my voice hits your ears, and walk with me in that. And when it's with love, it's not with no kind of condemnation. It's I got you. Just trust in me. I got you.
With a voice deep like that.
Anyway, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, the Lord who delivered me from sickness, the Lord who delivered me from depression, the Lord who delivered me from heartbreak, the Lord who shined the light when I thought it was dark, that same Lord will bring you to the next victory.
That's right.
And the thing about the victory is he's already ran the race for you. You're just simply staying in the lane and following the track. You don't have to do a lot. He's already done it. And when you get to the finish line, he gives you the gold medal. That's extremely humbling. I didn't do anything. And he says, trusted in me. I picked up the slack. All you had to do was just trust in me. That alone is enough for me to love you. That alone is enough for me to anoint you. That alone is enough for me to put the ring on your finger. You trusting in me. You could. I'm glad that you realized you couldn't do it on your own. I'm glad you humbled yourself. I'm glad you're bowing before me. But now rise up and stand. Kings don't bow.
I am a king and I am inside of you. So you rise. You rise. You bow before me, but you rise above the world. You bow before me, but you rise above the world.
I know it's good. I didn't even write that down. I ain't saying nothing. I'm just kidding. So this, even when you think you're small and things are so big, you still got the victory. David, all he had to do was just believe. He picked up that rock, put it in that sling. That's what I imagined life. Hit him right in the head and sunk in his skull. And Goliath is big. Goliath was big. And I imagine he fell back. This would sound like a tree. Timber! That's how every victory will be for you all. Continues. To believe in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's how every single you, God already sets the pieces up.
Yes.
You just wanted the pieces. And he's using you. And he's lining you up. And you may face something big. You may face something huge. You may face something gigantic. But remember the lion and the bear in your life that God has brought you through. Remember how he gave you the ability to seize it by the hair and strike it down. And not with malice, not with just, it had to be done because it was coming against you and you are God's people. It was coming against you and you. I don't care if it was depression, I don't care if it was cancer, I don't care if it was debt. He allowed you to conquer your Goliath. He allowed you to participate in it. He could have been like a parent with a kid in the back seat. You just, Kyle and EJB, they be my nephews. Yeah. They just be in the back. Just EJ, he the baby. He just. And you just driving. That's how God is. He's just protecting you, just along for the ride. You're just along for the ride. Let him guide you and ride you to your destination. Joseph. He went through a lot. So it started out when it was brought to him by a dream. I'm going to go back to Genesis 37. Jacob lived in a land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had when I was binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Pin in that. Don't tell everybody your plans. Do not let everybody, don't let everybody and their mama know what you're doing. Do not. There are godly people who you can trust. We are family here.
Yeah. family in here. But don't be telling Cindy Lou and Tom and Jerry no.
The cat and the mouse?
don't tell the world you and God's business. That's you and God's business. If somebody sets you up to work with you, like if God gives you a plan to do something, and someone, AKA, for example, you guys created a Christian album, and now you guys have your own singles lined up. Godly lined up. Mm. Not everybody godly lined up out here in these streets. Mm.
Hey.
And,
hey. Dangerous.
His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" Uh-oh. That's why you shouldn't tell everybody that stuff. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. People will come when you tell, even if it's an earshot, people will come and hear your plan and will try their best to ruin it. They will try to come at you with everything that they have and that the enemy has to destroy your goal. To destroy God's goal. To destroy God's goal for you. Don't let everybody know your business, man. Keep it to yourself. And when he send the right people along, that is, man, you great, man. Hey, man, this is what God been telling me, man. He's been telling me the same thing. Oh, really? What's your position on it? And the thing, you have something. That person will have something like Legos, though. It'll just lock up. Y'all may look like different pieces, but y'all fall together all the same.
Amen.
Good.
Stay away from them lights.
That's a good one. Stay away from them lights.
That's rich.
No.
That's rich.
So, chapter 37, 17. So his brothers sold him into slavery. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Thought y'all was family. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into these Kistines.
Cisterns.
Thank you. And say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what comes of this dream." I'm not. Again, keep God's dream close to just you and God. And whoever puts you in your inner circle, you gotta keep it tight. You gotta keep it tight. And just know when you can keep it tight. So he was sold off into slavery, and he was sold to an Egyptian. Now, in your mess, God's always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites. Another idol. Who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered and lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw the Lord was with him, the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me," but he refused.
Just like that, huh?
"With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in his house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife." Watch this. "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" He knew God had blessed him. He knew God had brought, he was sold into slavery, but he was able to upgrade to get some money. to a better position of slavery, I should say. And he didn't want to mess that up. He wouldn't want to go against what God had told him to do. "And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went to the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When you see trouble, leave.'" "When you see trouble, leave." He didn't waste his breath, because he knew what was going to happen. And so he was just like, "Ain't fooling with you, girl. I got this job. I just got this job. You trying to mess this up. Wrong with you, these crazy people." When he saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and he had ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look, this Hebrew has brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me. Why? But I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." The devil is a liar. I am lying. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the lie, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Now again, watch where God puts you and how he's still with you. "But while Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible of all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care." When he upgrades you to a position, he knows that you got the skill and the power that he granted you to keep that position. So if you get a new job or just new anything, "I don't want to mess this up. I've dropped building plans on the ground. I don't want to hold a glass vase. I'll shatter it. I don't want to mess this relationship up. I don't want to mess this car up. I don't want to mess this." He's already anointed you to hold it so delicately and to keep it so perfectly. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. success. And don't knock it. Don't knock the success, man. I'm so afraid I'm gonna lose this position. I'm so afraid I'm gonna mess this thing up. Don't be afraid of that. Just how David was. David, he was already anointed and then had no fear. Imagine a whole bear coming up against you.
Nope.
and it ain't Yogi the bear looking for baskets neither. It ain't got Ruger behind him. Hey, boo boo, he got some nice baskets. Let's eat. Hey, boo boo, this human looks delicious. I want to eat him. And imagine the difference into someone who cowers in fear, and then someone who stands with the righteousness of God in front of it. And I imagine when David went up against Goliath, he smirked a little bit. He was just like, "You're gonna lose. You can't. It's a fixed game. You tried. The devil will try you. Try. He won't succeed.
Come on.
He's already God's already won the victory. It's already been predestined. You've already been predestined and anointed for greatness.
Come on,
bro. Approved. Already. You don't have to wait for a phone call. You don't have to wait for the mail. You don't have to. I hope that check clears, man. That's... I paid that bill. I hope it went through. You already got money in the bank. It's God's money. God's already got you an endless supply of blessings, an endless supply of anointing, an endless supply of everything and anything that you need.
Amen.
You already got it. So don't be afraid to stand up against someone with a little smirk. Hit the Superman pose on him. Don't be afraid to do that when something comes your way.
Hey.
I just want to. Just let God order your steps and just follow through with it. And trust me, it's going to follow flush. It's not going to be crooked. It's not going to be bent. It's not going to be... you've already been pre-approved. You may get a reroute. You may go a different way. You may stumble. You may fall. You may fall off the tricycle, but he already put the training wheels and the helmet on there. You can keep on riding. And know that he always, don't let go. Don't let go, but they let go. I'm still with you. I'm still behind you. Man. I still got my hand on you. God. It sounds like you've done that. Stop making me laugh, okay? I'm sorry. God is actually still with you, holding your back.
Because he
knows that you're going to wobble and you're going to stumble. And there may be some rocks on the road that you may hit. You may hit a puddle. When he hits the rocks, he'll straighten you up. When you look like you're going to hit a puddle, he'll block that dirty water and you'll stay clean.
Ooh, thank you.
And his clean. And his, not Mr. Clean, his clean. White as snow. White as snow, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's anyone, everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes. Or please. You don't have to. I'm gonna just read this Psalms 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. And in my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid.
Amen.
What can man do? What can man do to us? The Lord is with us, for he is our helper. We will look in triumph upon our enemies, because it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. When all the nations surround you, in the name of the Lord, you will cut them off. They may surround you on every side, but in the name of the Lord, you will cut them off. They will swarm around you like bees, but they will surely die as quickly as the burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord then helped me. The Lord is my strength, my song. You are all of my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of righteousness. And just keep your eyes closed. Just if there's anyone here who I'm pretty sure we all need a family. If there's anyone here who has not received our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just keep your eyes closed and just raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed and just raise your hand. Amen. We are all family. We all family. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, God. I pray that we all follow your design and your plan, because your plan is perfect. Your plan has us set up and lined up right, not the world's. Yours, God. Your plan, Jesus. And it's a good plan. It ain't rinky dink. It ain't no weird instructions with just pictures and no words, God. You lead our steps physically, and you give us a word. You give us a word to go. So Lord Jesus, I just proclaim life over everyone here, and that everyone continues to follow in your steps, and your design, and your plans. Not because I'm saying it, because that's what you built. You drew it out. You knew the people that we were gonna meet. You knew the actions that we were gonna take. You knew the things and the places that we were gonna be at. You brought that, God. And it may seem dark, you may stumble, but your light shines. Your light shines on every single person here. And I just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen.